Thanks for downloading the latest in our series of episodes of the C-Suite podcast that we're recording in partnership with the European PR agency Taito and their own Without Borders podcast, where we are interviewing leaders of unicorn companies to find out about the key issues, pain points and challenges that startups face and how they can address them with a strategic approach to marketing and communications. My name is Russell Goldsmith and my co-host for this series of interviews is Taito's founder, Brendan Craigie. And today we're thrilled to be joined online from Utah in the US by Clay Wilkes, CEO of the global payments processing platform Galileo. Welcome to the show, Clay.
Thanks so much.
Great to have you here. We thought we could perhaps start by you giving us a quick introduction to the business, maybe an overview of how you support your customers, but also what the longer term vision is for the company.
Certainly. Galileo provides API access to a robust core banking technology, which allows our clients to run and manage enterprise-grade banking offerings. As such, we support 70 out of the top 100 most valuable fintech companies around the globe. So this is companies such as Chime, Robinhood, TransferWise, Varo, Monzo, Revolut, Remitly, SoFi, and many, many, many others. And so what we're doing is we're providing this API access that our clients can call, and they in turn can offer services out to their customer. And we're providing the back office or technology stack behind it all. In terms of the direction of the company, the combination with SoFi has allowed us to bring the two companies together and bringing together both the digital and banking payments offerings of Galileo and support of our clients, as well as the credit and lending and invest products of SoFi, really provides the strategic direction of the company. And this includes offering these types of products out to our clients and to the fintech ecosystem generally. It also includes expansion into additional geographic areas. For example, we've recently expanded into Latin America, into Mexico, and we're having tremendous success in Latin America as we move into countries such as Colombia and Brazil and Argentina. So that's a big part of our current trajectory.
It's really exciting. As Russell says, great to have you on the show, Clay. One of the things that I guess is the big events for you is this year was the acquisition by SoFi for $1.2 billion in April. I wonder whether you could kind of talk a little bit about the background to that deal and also, you know, like whether or not getting that sort of unicorn valuation has changed the perception of your business at all.
If you go back to April, the discussions that were going on between Galileo and SoFi were occurring in March, and March was really the first month of the global pandemic, and in the United States and globally, the markets were in meltdown. So we were really in the midst of turmoil financially. I believe that we had hit 30% deceleration in the public's equities markets, which was faster this year than had occurred just before the Great Depression. So it was really a time of uncertainty. So to be able to consummate the transaction was really an important milestone and a big event for us, for Galileo. Bringing the two companies together, it was really an incredible opportunity for Galileo, but more importantly for our clients and for SoFi. SoFi, of course, has been a leader, fintech leader in lending, and being able to bring together the banking and payments capabilities of Galileo with the lending offerings and be able to offer those out to our clients is really why we brought the two companies together. And it's been the thesis as well as the go-forward strategy for the company.
Clay, you touched on COVID just there. I mean, we're recording this interview just a week before the holiday season, at the end of what's been a pretty challenging year. I mean, how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted on your business and the markets that you serve?
There's been quite a few changes. The first is, like a lot of other businesses, we've had to learn how to work from home. So not only being able to provide the innovation capabilities that Galileo does and do that remotely, but growth, managing growth. I mean, Galileo has grown dramatically, and I'll talk a little bit more specifically about the offerings here in just a minute. But so just being able to manage the internal component of that growth in terms of bringing on new people, new employees has been interesting and challenging. But we've been able to adapt and do it successfully, fortunately. From an offerings perspective, Galileo, of course, powers, at least in North America, 95% of all digital banking. And so that digital banking has seen, during the pandemic, has seen unbelievable growth. And it's been really interesting to watch.
And interesting you talk about that kind of acceleration of digital banking. I guess thinking about what the situation we've been in kind of has forced a lot of companies to think more inventively and probably had to deal with different kind of constraints that they wouldn't have otherwise had to. Have you witnessed a lot of innovation within fintech during this year, either that you've been part of or that you've just observed that have excited you?
I wouldn't say necessarily innovation that occurred within the year. There's been a few, but they're not necessarily obvious. I would describe what's occurred during the pandemic really as preparation and being in the right spot at the right time, both for Galileo and its clients. You know, this been described that Amazon was built for the pandemic, and digital banking was as well. But if you hadn't built Amazon before the pandemic, there would be no way to build it during the pandemic. And that's true of digital banking also. But what has happened is that these companies that have been focused on digital banking have seen dramatic growth. And Galileo, of course, has been powering that and been a big part of it. And that's been the most exciting thing specific to the pandemic. There has been other innovations, and these are things that will be coming out into the general market within the next, say, 12 to 18 months. And those are going to be very, very exciting.
So rather than COVID being a primer of some of these innovations, it's kind of that those kind of things are maybe are still to come, the next wave of innovations.
Yeah, that's right. And I wouldn't necessarily describe them as pandemic specific. There are things that that we've seen and witnessed that are coming out that are, for example, an evolution in a digital banking offering, for example, a credit solution. These are the things that are interesting and exciting.
And we noticed that you'd recently brought on board a new CTO. And I think, you know, you talked about how that person was going to help you take your payment processing platform to the next level. What could you give us kind of like a sneak peek of what does that mean?
Certainly. Jeff Currier is our new CTO, and it's tremendous to have him aboard. Jeff's background, he was actually at SoFi. SoFi was a client of Galileo before the combination. So for the year and a half before, they were a client utilizing our platform. So he had been familiar with Galileo. His background before SoFi was Twitter, Amazon. We was a core part of the offering around AWS, as well as a founding member of Microsoft Azure, their cloud offering. So he's got deep and extensive cloud experience, which is really relevant to what Galileo is undertaking right now, which is a move from our on-prem environment to the cloud, which will be widely available first quarter of 2021. So we're just a few months from that. But Jeff has been tremendous. He brings a lot of maturity, a lot of deep and rich technical understanding and knowledge, and has been a great addition to the management team.
Clay, a key part of the discussions that we're having with our unicorn leaders is on communications and culture within the business. It would be great to just understand what your approach has been to raising awareness of the business and differentiating yourself in I guess what must be quite a noisy and crowded area.
Yeah, early on, as we were kind of going through growth, the need to be able to get the message out about who Galileo is and what we do, I would say was really focused on guerrilla tactics. It's not easy. Somebody that's in startup mode and trying to, you know, make a name for themselves, it's a matter of persistence and just sort of staying with it. Galileo grew significantly, I would say, over the last 5 to 7 years. Before that, building the foundation and building the capabilities and the technology that would power that. So, in other words, watching the market grow into what we were doing and what we were offering was a big part of this sort of growth and awareness. And that continues today as we extend into additional global markets and other capabilities. But raising that awareness is not necessarily an easy thing, especially in a bootstrapped environment, which is what Galileo was doing. So we didn't go out and raise a lot of money. We took a nice, slow, deliberate approach to our growth. Fortunately, it paid off.
What were some of those guerrilla tactics?
Well, it has to be sort of hand-to-hand combat. And what I mean by that is having the individuals in the company that are out interacting with the market in a one-on-one sort of way. And so it's sort of step-by-step. It's bringing in, you know, closing a deal with a client, developing a relationship with a networking company such as Visa or MasterCard, potentially a bank partner. And each one of these things builds on itself. And so that's what I mean by kind of a direct marketing approach.
And what about the company culture itself? How have you built that over the long term?
For Galileo, it was key for us to define the Galileo core values and to really focus our company and company mission around what we believed in. That was a big part of it. I think leadership plays a key part of it. Certainly the CEO is a key role, of course, but the leadership more broadly and the leadership team. And Galileo had a long tenured team that was able to work very effectively together. It's been I think a big part of what we've done culturally. The Galileo Foundation is another kind of key part, but it's just an affirmation of our core values. So one of our core values is focusing on the earth on which we live, and we would provide in addition to the credits or available funds that might be available for purchasing an EV, an electric vehicle in the United States, Galileo would provide a $5,000 rebate. So if you went out and bought an EV, we would provide $5,000. So these are the kinds of things that Galileo was doing that were actionable that sort of supported our company culture and our core values.
Well, I'm glad you picked up on that, because we're going to ask a little bit about the Galileo Foundation. What was kind of like the inspiration behind that, and what sort of things have you been focused on through the foundation, and how does that support your company culture?
The inspiration behind it was really allowing employees, their family and friends, partners or clients and other contacts or associates of the company to really get out into the world and to do something for somebody else. So the foundation was really focused on areas of the world such as Peru, India, Nepal. And there were a number of expeditions or experiences that we provided in support of our company culture. We would provide, in addition to PTOs or just standard paid time off for either illness or vacation, we would provide humanitarian paid time off. So it was a separate bucket, and we would pay employees to go on these expeditions. And so I think, you know, over the 12 plus years that we were initially focused on the foundation, we've done many, many, approaching 100 different expeditions into different countries. And it's been a tremendous experience, both in terms of learning about the world that we live in and focusing on something more important than ourselves or our immediate community.
One thing that we're kind of interested in kind of exploring a bit more is, and maybe this is kind of particularly interesting given how we've all had to adapt to working from home. Just wondered, like, what's your kind of philosophy around internal communications? And I think when you're a leader, you kind of have a role leading and communicating with a wide group of people, but equally you kind of also need to be communicating with individuals. And I just wondered, have you managed to navigate that, particularly like working from home? How have you kind of kept those kind of internal channels of communications flowing?
There was certainly a shift in moving to an at-home environment for Galileo. The office environment was key to the way we communicated previously, and particularly my style of communication, which was perhaps more spontaneous. And so, you know, being in an at-home virtual environment that is, let's say, Zoom-based, is a different style of communication. So I think it's key to continue to have, one-on-one, which has been a big part of Galileo and the way that we have communicated. I encourage that not only between the members of the management team, but, all of their employees, all levels of the company, daily stand-ups and other regular written communications. These are the ways in which Galileo is communicated internally.
A personal observation I've had is I think that although people have adapted very well to kind of working from home, I think listening to you, kind of some of that experience you've had of working very closely with people prior to the pandemic means that you're able to kind of have good relationships with people remotely. Whereas I think if you're kind of having to forge those from a complete blank slate, that's much more challenging.
Yeah, I think that's right. The other point I would make about working from home, we've seen a number of adaptations that I think have been really interesting. For example, there's been a group at Galileo who they don't want to do necessarily work communication. So what's missing is sort of this interaction of the office. And one of the groups agreed every morning to get up and have coffee together. So they weren't talking about work things. They were just socializing and visiting and having their morning coffee.
In our interview with Mike Massaro of Flywire, he was talking about the fact that just occasionally he'll post in Slack saying, "Here's a link to Zoom. I'm here for the next hour. Anyone want to jump on?" Do you have any of that more informal? Because Zoom can be quite formal. You've got scheduled, or whatever platform you're using, very scheduled meetings. Do you have anything that's kind of informal like that?
That's a great suggestion. I may start to use that throughout the rest of the pandemic. I've often wished for a mechanism like that, because my style is to just kind of walk down a hall and look for the open office and drop in and have a spontaneous conversation, which you lose completely with Zoom. So partnering that with something like Slack is a great idea.
Yeah, no, I thought that when I heard it. And what about in terms of, we're talking internal comms there. What about your role as an external spokesperson and representative of the business? How do you view that and what have you learned along the way? I mean, did that come naturally to you?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say it came naturally. It's as a CEO, it's very important that you're communicating, of course, externally. It's the CEO's role is to be the chief communicator, I think, in many regards. And I have I've had to learn that to the extent I have learned it. I would say I'm still learning it. And so I wouldn't say that, at least for me, it's something that's sort of, okay, now I've hit that status. I'm still growing and learning in that role.
Is it possible to ask you, like, what have you found kind of most challenging and have you kind of had to formulate a plan to address any particular areas?
You were asking earlier about what it means to go through the $1.2 billion acquisition. And one of the things that was challenging for Galileo was that validation, achieving that validation. So, we hadn't taken private equity, and to the extent that you don't do that, you kind of get overlooked by the analyst, and because you're being overlooked by the analyst, the press. And so how do you achieve that, and how do you communicate effectively in a world where it's not really set up to do that, especially in a bootstrapped environment? So this is one of the big challenges that Galileo had. And we were, fortunate to be able to kind of finally overcome it. We did, just prior to the SoFi acquisition, take a round of funding from Accel, which validated much of what we had been working toward. But many, many of our clients, of course, were in these various analysts coverage, and Galileo was not. And so that was one of the big challenges of effective communications.
And what about, as well as challenges, have there been any mistakes that you've made that you're willing to admit to, maybe, that have sort of like affected the way you've then done business in the future?
Yeah, we absolutely. It's hard for a company to go down a 20-year journey and not make mistakes. So mistakes in terms of product offerings and definition, people that we may have hired, products or relationships that we either started or put into the marketplace, direction even, and pivots. These are all things that if you could see them clearly and execute flawlessly from the beginning, would save time and money. And I don't have a specific one in mind, but they are certainly out there. I'm reminded of the incredible success of Apple and their iPhone. But for anybody that was an Apple fan before the iPhone came about, we'll all remember the Newton. And I would say that was a flawed product. But without the Newton and that flaw, I don't know that that Apple would have been thinking necessarily and clearly about the way to approach the iPhone. And Galileo has had similar part of our journey.
And along that kind of 20-year journey, has anyone given you any communications advice that you've really hung on to or really benefited from?
One of the things that I think was a benefit for me, especially over the last, 5 to 7 years, and this is going to sound silly, was the amount of reading that I was doing. And while the advice was not given to me specifically, one of the things that I noted and read about Bill Gates early on was the amount of reading that he did. And he described that as the single greatest factor in his success. And I think that was true in our journey as well. And because of that, it affected our culture. I was encouraging our company to read books, read good books that I had read along with me. And we started a book club and we would meet weekly. And ultimately, we were buying books off the book list for any employee that wanted to request them. So these types of things of learning from the best minds that are out there and the experiences that they've had are key to success.
Were they predominantly business books or?
Not always. There certainly were business books but there were books about life and life's journey and success and sort of unusual ways. The Boys in the Boat, as an example, it was the first one that comes to mind. I wouldn't describe as a business book, but it's the lesson of tenacity, and that is absolutely one of the things that was a key part of Galileo's journey.
What was the last book you read?
Let's see.
Put you on the spot there.
trying to think, what is the last book? The last book I read was a book on the sinking of a Russian submarine and raising it off the ocean floor. They raised it with the Russians watching, and they raised it in the middle of they had carved out a boat that could open up the middle of the boat, and then they raised it right in the middle, of this boat, and stole it out from underneath the Russians. So, very, very intriguing book, and again, not about business.
Just on the book piece, Clay, what do you kind of credit that as doing for your organization in terms of, is it about getting people to come together to kind of explore an idea and therefore building a sense of team? Or is it about gaining kind of a sense of perspective about what's going on in the world? What was the kind of like, what do you credit that as doing for your business and your culture?
It's more formative than that. I'm reminded of a book that was talking about the advent of containers. And how a simple thing like a container and container shipping as compared to bulk break shipping changed the world. And so if you read about an idea like that and read about it in depth, it opens your mind to a different perspective. And while containers are not what we do, the question is how does that change of perspective alter the way we think about our problems that we face?
While we're on this topic, I mean, what are the three books that have influenced you the most?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that there's been many, many, so it'd be hard to narrow it down to three, but just, three that kind of come to mind quickly are A Crack in Creation by Jennifer Doudna. She, of course, won the Nobel Prize this last year, but before that, just a week or so after that book came out, I asked my entire family to read that book, because I think it might be one of the most impactful things that humankind has to deal with. And along that lines, the books that I've read and been inspired by that relate specifically to AI, for example, the Master Algorithm by Pedro Domingos is particularly impactful. We were talking about the Galileo Foundation earlier, and The Mystery of Capital by Hernando de Soto is truly remarkable in terms of better understanding the world that we live in, and specifically the third world. and the challenges that they face. Back to AI, Our Final Invention is interesting. I think one of the most impactful books that I read was a book by also Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow. I would say if I had to pick a book, that would be potentially the book.
Out of interest, in terms of reading books and hopefully listening to podcasts, has your media diet changed at all through the pandemic, through working at home? I don't know as a CEO how much you traveled before and whether or not you used that time to catch up on reading or listening to podcasts, but how has that changed over the last year?
Pre-pandemic, as a CEO, I was traveling a lot. I was on the road a lot, and I would use some of that airplane or travel time as time to read and to catch up. It's harder to find that now because it feels like we're working constantly. In fact, you kind of lose track of the days, and so the media diet has definitely changed for me during the pandemic. So it's harder to find that time right now to find that personal reflection and reading time. So you have to force it.
No, it's interesting you say about forcing it, because there's someone I know is a business coach, and she can't help going into coaching mode whenever I talk to her, actually. But she was saying about the fact that because she's lost that commute time, she's put in her diary like an hour walk in the morning and an hour walk in the evening, and that's where she's catching up on her listening or reading or whatever it might be, because it's come out of her natural day, so she's forced it back in there, because otherwise, like you say, you're at home, you come down, and you're straight into work mode, and you're not putting those breaks in, which I think is quite important. Clay, we've got one final question for you that we've been asking all our unicorn leaders, and that's if you were to go back in time and speak to your old self, what guidance would you give yourself about communications, and also what steps would you encourage yourself to take in order for you and your business to excel in comms?
Well, that's a really good question. My journey, at least at Galileo, specifically related to communications, is, I think, marked by personal growth. And I think that what I would say to my younger self is I would challenge myself to get out and do that communications more clearly, more succinctly, more specifically, more directly earlier on. I think that's really, really key. Being able to articulate the company's strategy is really important, especially as you're starting a new and young business. So it's a key capability.
Fantastic. Clay Wilkes, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and speak with us online today.
Thanks, Clay.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
There you go, Brendan. Clay was our second unicorn from North America. Thoughts on what he had to say?
Well, I really enjoyed that. I thought Clay kind of shed light on a different perspective that we've not really explored much, I think, in any of the other interviews we've done, which is that I think a lot of the other conversations we've had have very much focused on what's going on within an organization. And I thought it was very interesting the way that Clay has kind of built a culture around kind of looking outside of Galileo. You know, so whether that be encouraging everyone and kind of putting a real focus on getting people to kind of read books and kind of explore different ideas and different challenges that people have encountered in completely different industries, or whether it's about the Galileo Foundation and kind of launching expeditions to 100 different places in the world, I think that kind of idea of getting people to look outside of the organization and then that inspiring the organization internally was a really interesting point, and certainly something that I'm going to be borrowing.
It must be great to work for the organization and have that foundation as something that you can get involved in as well. And he's clearly so passionate about it.
Definitely.
Well, that is actually it for this latest episode in the series with Taito. If you want to find out more about Galileo, then their website is galileo-ft.com. We'd love to hear your comments on today's chat. You can share those on our Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram or Twitter feeds, and those are all linked from the top of our website at csuitepodcast.com, where you'll also find all our previous shows and supporting show notes, plus links to where you can subscribe for automatic downloads of each episode via the links of Spotify and Apple. And if you've liked what you heard, then please do give us a positive rating and review. We're, of course, available on all podcast apps. Just search for the C-Suite Podcast and please hit subscribe. You can also subscribe to the Without Borders podcast from our partners at Taito, and all the details for that are on their website. Just head to taitopr.com, click on the podcast link in the top navbar, and you should find it all there. If you are a unicorn leader yourself and you'd like to be part of this series, please do get in touch via the contact form on the website at csuitepodcast.com. Plus, of course, anyone can get in touch too with any feedback you may have. And finally, if you want to reach me, you can do that via Twitter using @RussGoldsmith, or you can find me on LinkedIn. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.